There are many wonderful things about my job. One of them that is very special and that I treasure, and probably treasure even now since there was a time of absence from it, is the opportunity to visit people where they live. And in addition to that, the opportunity to be able to bring communion to someone's place of residence. And over the course of my ministry, I've had the joy of sitting with people in all different phases of life, but especially that extra time for those whose years on earth are drawing to a close. And so as we have been preparing for this All Saints Sunday, I have been thinking about those saints that I've had the honor of spending time with, who've made an impression in my life and whose stories still carry on in my heart. And one of those people in particular is a woman named Mary. Not the mother of Jesus, Mary, like an ordinary woman named Mary. I had the joy of only knowing her for, less than a year before Mary passed. And by the time I got to know Mary, she was already living in a care facility, but visits with her were always filled with laughter. She was the kind of woman who lived rather humbly, but because of her faithfulness to her church, I knew the real scoop about Mary. People spoke eagerly about her faithfulness and her generosity and the ways that she made sure that church held together, especially when times got tough. Now, Mary never told me any of those stories. Whenever I was visiting with Mary, they were always simpler tales, things that we would just share about how our lives were going or maybe things from the past. And then, of course, there came the day where Mary died. And I had the honor of actually being with her before she passed, just moments before she passed, and having that sacred space to be with her family. And so after she died, I gathered with her children, and we started to plan her memorial service. Now, Mary was a very practical woman. And so she had her hymns chosen and she had her scriptures selected, and it made the planning of the day pretty easy. She had the money set aside for the food, and it was all set up, and she knew what we needed to do, and she left us with the instructions. And we carried almost all of them out to the letter, except for one. Mary wrote in her notes and had instructed her daughters in no uncertain terms that when it came to her eulogy, the following should be said, and this would be all that should be said. Mary has kicked the bucket. Now get back to work. Well, we did say that, but then we disobeyed Mary, and we kept talking about her because we needed to be able to share our stories and to celebrate her life and come together to worship God. Now, shortly after Mary's memorial service, her daughters came back to me, and they had a special gift that they wanted to give to the church. This gift came with no strings attached. They simply said, "Here is a memorial gift we would like to give for our mother. Use it however the church needs it. It's yours." Now, it's not uncommon to receive memorial gifts, but this one was especially generous. And so it took the leadership a while to discern what to do with this gift. not only for how it might bring honor to Mary's name, but how it would genuinely benefit the work of the church and how it might bring glory to God. And there were many different ideas that were tossed back and forth and thought through and prayed over. But eventually, the choice that was made was to commission the work of a new communion table, pulpit, and stand for the baptismal font. With, of course, money left over, because we knew Mary would want money spent on other things too. But we started on this journey, and in the process, it took a while for the designs and the plans and the blueprints and all kinds of diagrams that I really didn't know how to read. But the congregation proceeded. And they made the choice because the previous pieces, although very, you know, ordinary and doing their good, they didn't really fit the space. They were kind of falling apart. It was time for something that fit the new facility the church was in. So the pieces were designed, commissioned, and brought to the church about a week before Christmas. And when they were brought into the new space, I knew that we would be dedicating these special pieces on Epiphany. But sometimes when you get gifts early, it's just too exciting not to celebrate them a little earlier. So on Christmas Eve, at the 10 o'clock service, when it was time to have communion, and we had this new family table, I gathered everybody up in the chancel area, and we just kind of stood shoulder to shoulder and all smushed in around the table. And we celebrated Holy Communion. And as the congregation participated in the liturgy, and as we said, "The Lord be with you," nose to nose, we took the bread and we took the cup and we passed them around and we shared them. And it was like getting over to someone's house for Christmas evening and celebrating and sharing and hugging, and the joy that was present in that room was palpable. The presence of the Holy Spirit just blessed the space. And we knew in that moment something beautiful had happened. The best way I can describe that kind of moment and that gathering is it was like an experience of having heaven and earth meet. And you know, we can have heaven and earth meet anywhere and everywhere, and Jesus encourages us to try and be that union of heaven and earth wherever we are and whenever we are. But sometimes it's just a little bit easier when we have that sacred, special space, when we have those simple gifts of bread and cup, and when we share in the same words to open and melt and soften our hearts a little bit more to experience the presence of God that has been with us all along. You know, sometimes I think about whether or not Mary would approve of the way that we spent the money. And I can almost certainly guess that she is probably scowling at me right now for telling you her name and that this gift was given to her. But too bad, Mary. Because she would not have wanted you to know. But I think that congregation got it figured out. Something beautiful that would bring honor to God, and that would draw the family together around the table. You know, at the heart of it, that's what our scripture lesson for today is all about. We have reached the part in Exodus where they begin to collect offerings for the tabernacle. That's a weird word, isn't it? Tabernacle. Sometimes people call it the tent of meeting. And in many ways, this is a strange movement to happen in our Exodus story. Collect offerings for something beautiful. Collect offerings for this mobile sanctuary in a time when the Israelites didn't even have a place to live yet. At a time when the Israelites were still figuring out how to be a nation. At a time when they were still learning how to live by those commandments and figure out what it meant to still eat manna every day. Why bother with this construction of this elaborate tent? These crazy, crazy amount of blueprints that go on for like 15 chapters in the Bible about all the different colors, all the different fabrics, all the different pieces that needed to be gathered. And yet it is in precisely this moment where things do not make sense that the people start constructing something beautiful. I think that we're in a time and a place where we want something beautiful too. We've been through so much of our own wilderness wanderings and displacement and disruption, and we walk around in so much chaos and so much tension and anxiety that our souls are hungry for something beautiful. Not just beautiful as beauty in the eyes of the beholder, but beautiful as in a place and a time and a space where heaven and earth meet. That's what the tent of meeting was meant to do. And if you were to actually go through all of those chapters, you would see in the images and the intentionality of the things that were constructed and placed that they not only had some resonance with some common features of worship places for those ancient cultures, but they also had a lot of imagery on the development of the Garden of Eden. This tabernacle, this tent of meeting, was meant to be an experience where people, in the midst of their chaos, in the midst of their wanderings, in the midst of wondering what the next day would bring, could come and sit and behold the beauty of God. And for those who were able to go further into the tent, they were able to experience a recreation of the Garden of Eden. And remember that God was here, and that there could be these spaces and there are moments and places where heaven and earth could meet. Now we know, when we go through our history books, that when we get off the rails and only think about something beautiful, that can lead to an unwise demise as well. But I think we sometimes undervalue and underappreciate the importance of creating spaces, time, and ministry for beauty to emerge. Now, I'm not necessarily talking about ornate cathedrals or orchestra hall performances. I'm talking about that moment and that space where you feel like heaven and earth meet. And you know, sometimes in some of those most beautiful moments, they are in some of the hardest, ugliest, most stressful moments. In fact, as I think about my story with Mary, I think about most of the time when someone says to me, that was beautiful, it's after a funeral, where they just come up to me and they say, "That was beautiful." Because in the midst of their pain, in the midst of their sorrow, there is an encounter with the Holy One. And there is a reminder that heaven and earth do meet. And we have this opportunity and experience of it. And it is beautiful, even though it is so hard. And even though sometimes it just feels like our hearts are being ripped apart, God comes and soothes and reassures us with beauty. I've been thinking a lot about the tabernacle and a sense of creating space for heaven and earth to meet. And although I was just kind of picking these scriptures to march along the book of Exodus accordingly to make sure we got done by Thanksgiving, I think it's fitting that it comes now. For me personally, as I prepare and continue my work here at Crosswinds, we have these things, we have these facilities, we have all these projects that are about to unfold, and it is easy to get overwhelmed or to think they are too great or to think maybe we should give up or maybe that something is too extravagant or impossible. But when I look at them and I think about what God is doing, I hear that whisper of the Holy Spirit saying, "This is something beautiful. And this is a moment for heaven and earth to meet." I almost hesitate to say that out loud because it is so tender and so profound, and yet I believe it with all my heart. And I believe that as a church, we are convicted to do all the good we can to make sure that our facilities and our ministries, all our attention and all our time are committed to letting heaven and earth meet so that the fullness of God may be present in our lives, in our community. For we have been called to bring good news. And the Spirit of the Lord is upon us. As I wrap up my thoughts and we consider these stirrings and promptings and callings of God, I also want to lift up one other part that I think is subtle but important in our scripture reading for this day. It says in verse 2, after God speaks to Moses, God tells him, "Receive my gift offerings from everyone who freely wants to give." Who freely wants to give. It's one of those things that's almost so easy to overlook and yet so vitally important, especially as we think about the nation of Israel and who they are becoming in their relationship with God. This people had only known slavery for years and decades and generations of their lives. They had never been able to think about what it meant to freely do anything. And they were accustomed to being forced to build, especially when they lived under Pharaoh. But here comes God, the one who not only frees them through the Red Sea, parts the waters through the chaos, gives them the daily bread of manna, and shows them the way. But when it comes time to creating a beautiful place, a space for him to dwell with his people, simply says, Receive my gift offerings from anyone who freely wants to give. God does not demand. God does not make it obligatory. God wants us to freely give from the heart. Because I believe it's in that free gift that something beautiful emerges. That integrity of the spirit of the gift and the ways that God is then able to work with it, through it, and among it. My hope, as we get ready for our 2023 year of ministry together, is that for each and every one of us, when we make our decisions on the gifts we wish to share with our church, that we do so freely, because it is an act of love. And my promise and commitment to you as your pastor is I will do everything in my power to ensure that it is used to create something beautiful where heaven and earth can meet. Amen.